Before we continue, one of the ways we keep all of our content for you, the listener, free of charge is our amazing sponsors, and today, Anchor is one of those sponsors. If you haven't heard about Anchor, it's the easiest way to make a podcast. Let me explain. It's free, there's creation tools that allow you to record and edit your podcasts right from your phone or computer. Anchor is going to distribute your podcast for you so it can be heard on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, and everywhere podcasts are listened to, and you can even make money from your podcast with no minimum listenership. It's everything you need to make a podcast in one place. Download the free Anchor app or go to Anchor.fm to get started.
You're tuning in to the online broadcast network, AfterBuzz TV. Over 20 million weekly downloads in over 150 countries and your number one source for after-show entertainment. AfterBuzz TV, the destination for TV superfans, producing aftershows for over 300 of your favorite TV shows, interviewing celebrities and showrunners, and bringing you behind-the-scenes exclusives. All thanks to E! Entertainment's Maria Menounos, producer Kevin Undergaro, and internet leader Akamai. Now, let the buzz begin!
There we go. Watching the Jane the Virgin After Show, Chapter 21. I am Stephanie Georgie, your host, and I have my fellow host with me, Giselle Ugarte, with us.
Oh, what's up? You Giselle just Ugarte. Yes. And,
anyways, before we get started, don't forget to subscribe to our page. Find us on iTunes, on SoundCloud, rate us 5 stars, leave us comments, let us know what you think. Also, you can follow me on Twitter, at Stephanie Georgie. Where can they follow you?
I'm Giselle Ugarte.
At Giselle Ugarte.
Yeah, at Giselle. Snapchat, Twitter, Instagram.
All of the above. Mm-hmm. Thank you kindly. So the song choice of today is La Factoria. And what she was saying was to not... Okay, so it was a similar theme as last week's song. But it's just to not come back to me... To love not to come back to me even if I miss you. Love don't come back to me even if I want you.
Ooh.
Which tends to be kind of what's going on here with the show. Why don't we go ahead and start, as always, with our flashbacks. This time not so young, but while Jane was in high school. Mm-hmm. And we see her with her tormentor. I hate her name. This
Stephanie,
really sucks.
Whatever, her... bitch.
Right?
I <don't> know.
Oh, I was like, that was her last name, wasn't it? Oh.
Stephanie, whatever, bitch.
Yes, that's accept- okay, for all purposes and whatever of the show, that's what it's going to be called. So she's the tormentor, and she's just rude, your typical rude girl in high school that is pretty, thinks they're too pretty, and whatever. But anyway, so
manipulative.
Yes, and everything.
Preys on the young, innocent, smart little ones.
Exactly. And the specific flashback that we saw was Jane going to career day, and then she misses it because in her planner it was written differently, and the girl had switched it up in the planner. But then we get a... preference into the show, which is Jane and her planning. She's obsessed with planning, which is the same reason why we love her. And then we go into the actual episode and we find out that she is planning, or she had planned to go to this reunion for high school on May 9th.
5-year high school reunion.
5-year. I know, right? God, I would have already had mine.
Yeah, it was then that I realized that I'm older than Jane.
Yeah, exactly. No, exactly. I literally,
this whole
time
I thought we were the same age, if not that I was younger, but no. Mm-hmm.
Me too. I'm looking at Giselle right now. Y'all, tell me how colorful she is. So colorful.
I'm trying to do this mind over matter thing because I've been kind of like down and stressed. So I'm like, okay, let's just spring it out. And also, it's a Met Gala today, so I kind of kimonoed it up.
You look great, girl.
So excuse me if you see me pulling my wedgies a couple times over here.
It's okay.
The shorts are short.
Wedgies are wedgies. Mm-hmm. We all understand.
Back to Miss Jane.
Back to Miss Jane. So she's planning for the... reunion May 9th, and then she remembers that when she had initially planned it, it was with Michael. And then she's sitting in the bedroom with Lena, and then her mom comes in and she's like, you know what, I'm not going to go, but Lena wants her to go. And so she decides to, they convince her to go, and that is just the decision to be made. She realizes that she's just overwhelmed and she's thinking too much into it, and she's going to go. Would you want to go to your...
I wouldn't want to go. I didn't go to mine, actually, and I wasn't in her position, but I mean, I wouldn't want to go.
Mm-hmm.
It seemed like for her, part of what she loved about high school were the classes and the teachers. It wasn't the people.
Mm-hmm.
And so, like, what's the point of going?
I guess, right.
It's not like she's gone very far. You know, she stayed around.
And it's only 5 years.
Yeah.
You, like, barely grow up after 5 years.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's actually really funny. That I guess for they...
Like, 5 years is when you're going through your quarter life crisis and you don't even know who you are.
You're not even there yet.
You know, there's nothing to show for it. And I don't know. For me, the reunion thing... maybe some people would say it differently. For me, I feel like it's a bunch of just showing off. Like, oh, where are you now? Oh, where are you now? I'm having a baby. Oh, I'm married. Oh, I'm doing this. I'm doing that. Like,
right.
Facebook kind of takes away that.
That's
now.
Exactly. That's true. I think, but it also leaves, like, it takes the edge off. So I think I would look forward to my high school reunion, but just because I mean, I don't ever see anybody anymore. Mm-hmm. So I would like to see some people, but I was that person. I was so close to the admin and the teachers at my high school. So I would love to see them again. But anyways, going forward, the next thing that we see is Raph, he's thinking about selling the hotel. So he's talking to Luisa and they're still going through the situation about what they're going to actually do. Mm-hmm. And we see that Juicy J, right? That wrestler girl. I don't know. I'm happy that Luisa has a lover right now. And I'm happy to see Luisa normal and really just kind of thinking about business. She's just not a hot mess anymore. Yeah. And that kind of makes everything.
She's just hot.
Yeah. She's just hot and she's getting loving. And that's what everybody needs when they're a hot mess is to get laid. So she's getting that right now. But it's good because we want to see them go forward and not be stuck on that part of the drama. Mm-hmm. Let's see their business part.
And we also see that Raphael is making a transition in going from what his father would have wanted to mm-hmm. now what he should
be doing. Right, of course. And his father still has a large influence because he knows that his dad didn't want to sell it because it was his legacy. So Raph is trying to hold on to it. But now they're just trying to see what's best for the business. And we'll go forward in that in just a second.
Are we sure Luisa is all good now?
I mean, it's hard to tell because she has her history.
Where is Rose?
Right, that's my only thing. I think the only issue that Luisa would have would be like a revenge type thing. I don't think she'd be in love again because she already knows that Luisa's like a psycho and killed her dad.
Yeah.
So that's the only way that I would see Luisa go like downhill. I don't think that she'd be involved. I don't think that she would be evil. I just think that she would see her again and it would spark like.
Yeah. And also that thing too, the Nadine thing. Mm-hmm. Like, is she gone forever?
Well, that's just.
Has she been written out?
Straight up on pause. Nope. She had time to go away and that's what Michael's intentions were, which is really sad because later in the episode when we see him reminiscing on that, he's emotional. Right. Very emotional. But also let's keep going with all of our characters today. And then we see Rogelio. Rogelio is talking. It's the first time that he goes into the house and they test the friendship between him and Xiomara. Mm-hmm. And he goes
and that's another theme throughout the show is can exes be friends?
Yes, exactly. Actually, I didn't think of that. That was a wonderful part because that's very controversial for a lot of relationships. Mm-hmm. Especially if you're in a new relationship. So we see a little bit of all of that, especially. Well, here's the thing, though. So the episode that I hosted when we were on the phone, that's the one thing that I was worried about is what I said. I'm like, great. Now we're going to see all of these side relationships develop. The only thing with Rogelio and Xiomara is that even though they were trying to take their time, this happening allows them to fall back again, which is okay because now they're rebuilding the same relationship. They're not they're not looking at anyone else. They're just realizing that even if something bad were to happen, they still want to be together. But then he gets excited.
And they can be friends.
Right.
They can have that friendship there.
Right. And I'm really surprised that he still wants her to be a part of the show.
Because he knows that he loves her.
Yeah, but
he can't be without her.
No. But I meant a part of the performance in Vegas. Yeah. I was surprised at that. And now he's excited because Mitchell Murray, who is, I don't know, the guy who's doing the big shot Broadway guy. And it cracks me up when he's like, no, now cool people like Bradley Cooper are doing,
it's true.
Broadway
shows.
Yeah, exactly.
Nominated for a Tony.
Right?
Yeah.
So that's true in real life?
That he's nominated for a Tony?
No, Bradley Cooper being on Broadway.
Yeah.
What is he doing?
He's doing Elephant Man in New York, and it was so good that they're now going to London to do it. And he was nominated for a Tony.
Unbelievable.
Yeah.
Oh, good for him. Yeah. Good for him.
Everybody's doing it.
That's the stage where it starts.
Hugh Jackman is on Broadway.
Oh, yeah, but duh.
Vanessa Hudgens on Broadway.
Really? Yeah. That's funny. I just watched a movie with her last night.
Gigi.
Beastly. Okay, so moving forward.
But can exes be friends, though? Because I do want to ask that to people on YouTube. Can exes be friends? Can these exes be friends? This is something that I just asked on Twitter, too, so you can respond to me there. Mm-hmm. And we can maybe do some shout-outs if we have time and if the service doesn't knock off my microphone.
We will do that. As soon as we go, let's... Yeah.
Do this first.
No. I was just going to say, let's talk about the three relationships. Yeah, the three exes. And then Jane runs into Petra, and Petra wants Raph back, clearly.
Obviously.
Okay, this is the part that pisses me off, because Petra is that high school girl. Petra is the one who's manipulative. Petra is the one who knows what she's doing, and I'm proud of Jane for not being what I probably would have been before, where it's like, oh, forgivable, forgivable, forgivable. It's like, no, you can maybe forgive. Don't you ever trust again. And don't you ever forget. Mm-mm. But
take the note. Nice.
Yeah, and keep it there because it was just so obvious. And I love that they said that, you know, that Petra's trying to be that good friend. Which,
not.
Yeah, no, I know, but I meant like, but every, all females try to play that part to the guy when it's like, sweetheart, you're just trying to swoop in, fall back.
Totally. Guys do it too, though.
Yeah, they
guys
do.
Guys do it too.
They do. They're like, oh, yeah, talk to me. Yeah, I don't mind. And it's like, nobody, no dude wants to hear about another dude.
Anybody who goes through some interruption, whether it's, you know, anger or deceit, whether it's girl-girl friendship or if it's actually relationship, you have that trying to sweet talk your way back into it. And it's like, uh-uh, you hurt me once.
Right.
Twice.
Done.
There's the door.
Exactly.
Over there.
I know. And so Jane sees Petra in that moment, and Petra's trying to be all nice, which still gives Jane more reason because she's on her way to talk to Raph. And Raph is excited to see her, which is so sweet. I think he did really good in that part where he just sees it and he's like, he looks
he's
like.
He's reading the email.
Yeah, he's reading the email and just looks like, oh my God, you know?
Of course I can talk to you.
Yeah.
When? Three? Cool.
Right. And then so she shows up and she sees Petra and she's just like, no, I don't want that to happen. And then I was really, really, really happy to see Raph fight for his baby, just say, you know, no, 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 whatever it is that I have to do, I have to do it. If I have to get another apartment, okay. Instead of arguing it or even trying to, like, one-up her, if you will, or compromise by saying no or trying to convince her otherwise. He didn't. He just accommodated to her right away. Mm-hmm. And that was great because that's important. How do you
and
feel?
And she makes a lot of sense.
Absolutely.
You know? I mean, I don't even think Raph completely trusts Petra throughout all of this. And I think that there were times when he thought that he did and that he was maybe getting swayed by Petra, especially this episode. But he knows better. And he knows better than anybody else. And he knows that Petra isn't even Petra.
So no, exactly. Right.
And it just makes me sad because I feel like Petra, this is a perfect episode to encapsulate how Petra was that mean girl who was a teenager and stayed that mean girl. You know, I don't feel like mean girls ever really grow out of it.
They don't.
Very rarely.
Isn't that nuts?
It needs to end the cycle. The kind campaign.
I like, did you hear Giselle's voice like switch right there? She's interesting. More thought developed from that.
I want to go like so deep into it, but I'm like, all right, let's stick to the episode.
Well, no, I mean, it's okay because that's the good thing about these like shows is that we're comparing it to life. And that's why we love Jane the Virgin because these are things that actually happen. So that happens and they swoop in. Jane sticks to her gun and she says no, because if this person's going to be around, I don't want it.
Yeah.
And that's fine. And he's like, okay, so he just kind of has to deal with it and goes to talk to Petra in a little bit and she kind of comforts him. And then at the same time, while that's happening, what do we have? We have Jane over at her house and she starts, you know, Michael calls her and invites her to the ceremony, which is like cool because he, you know, he just as a friend, which falls back to what Giselle was saying,
Can exes be friends
and that guys do it also. Mm-hmm. However, he might have different intentions, as we see a little bit later in the episode. But he does invite her to the ceremony. And then she agrees to go. But now we can talk about Nadine and how that's messing with his head.
Yeah.
I didn't realize that he, like, you know, turned in the 22, but not that 23rd person, which was Nadine. Mm-hmm. And he got a commendation for it. He got an award, which is great. But at the same time, I don't know. How do you feel about that?
Do you feel like he should have turned her in?
That's my point. I don't know.
Like, do you feel like he's going to turn her in eventually? Is it going to be something that's eating away at him? Is he going to reach out to her? How is she going to come back? Or why did they include that part of his conscience?
Right. Because, well, my thing is that when that situation initially happened, I wonder if one yes, he could be angry, but would he not go up to her and just say, why didn't you tell me before? We could, you know that there's protocol for this. We could have put you in a women's protection program. We could have done this. We could have done that. And or would he have said that prior to, afterwards, or as soon as she got away, then said it and then explained? No, because then it would fall back on him.
But then also the question is the conscience a result of his feelings for her romantically, for her as a friendship, or for his own career integrity?
I think it's his partner. I feel like in like a lot of movies or in real life, people, it's their partner. It's their, literally their partner in crime. Like that's where that comes from because you do everything together and you investigate. And I think it was more so that he felt betrayed because he confided in her and they were doing all of this together. They were trying to find Sin Rostro. They were getting so close and he was close the whole time. He was right the whole time, and she just misled him. So then it's a little bit frustrating because at the same time, this has to do with the people that surround him that he loves, and he could have endangered them. He could have endangered himself. And so that part gets, like, frustrating because, I mean, I think it's all of those things. I think that's why the emotion built up, because it was unnecessary.
I feel like there's a part of it there, though, that is a little bit romantic, because I do feel like she's the one who was there all along. Could be. Like, yes, Jane, too, but I also feel like Nadine's someone who understands him on a different level, who understands him in the career, who was there for him when his heart was broken and he couldn't appreciate it, and he didn't treat her the way that he could have, and then to then find out that, like, all of that.
Mm-hmm. I know, that's so sad. Goodness.
I want her to come back.
I know.
I love her. We only have one episode left.
We do, the season finale's next.
Like, the baby's coming next week.
I know. And something shocking happens, as we saw in the previews.
Remind me, was there a distinct moment when we find out that the baby is a girl, or is Jane just referring to it as a girl?
No, she's referring to it as an it.
She's been calling it girl, though, too.
No, she hasn't.
Yeah. Really? I think.
No.
Correct me I'm pretty sure she's called it a girl a few times.
I remember when she said, it's coming, and I was like, ew, why does she call it? And then I was like, oh.
Oh, because we don't know.
Because we don't know the sex.
Hmm.
I'm pretty, because, and all the presents that she was unwrapping were all neutral colors.
True.
I'm pretty sure she didn't, but.
Never mind. Well, if correct me if I'm wrong, but I feel like there were a couple times when she did refer to it as a girl. We'll see next week.
Right.
But the mystery will be over.
But on that specifically, we also start seeing Jane nesting, which is so funny because she's like, no, I don't have time for nesting, but it is what she's doing. She's organizing. She's preparing for her baby so that it could be in a good place. And that's when we see one of the two relationships sparking, where she calls him. This is after the ceremony. They start texting because, Jane Wins goes to the reunion, which isn't that important. It's just kind of, like she said, it's pretty terrible, pretty tragic. Stupid stuff happens. Everyone is focused on, like, the fact that she's pregnant, and it's just kind of awkward, and she just gets over it, and so on and so forth.
Yeah,
however, the only
favorite.
Good thing that happened from that was that she ran into Stephanie. And fortunately, Stephanie was just saying, I was harsh with you in the beginning.
She apologized.
She apologizes.
But also showed that she has not grown up.
Yes.
And that she's actually even crazier than we thought that she was.
Right. And she was like, it's a strategy. However, this benefits Jane. Mm-hmm. Because the strategy is right.
She learns a lesson.
She learns a lesson.
Most likely to succeed.
Most likely to see. Trying, what is it?
Getting on people's vulnerable.
Yeah, the vulnerable, using people's vulnerability against them. Thank you. And so Jane goes home, and then she starts to talk to Mike, and the narrator says, this is something that's very familiar, of course. And I'm sure all of us watching were like, oh no, this is too familiar. No. I mean, kind of cute.
I'm less on Team Michael than I was 2 weeks ago when I was actually getting to Team Michael. But it was nice. It was refreshing. It was complicated. It's complicating things.
It is. But it's just sad because you see their friendship. Like, that's that's just so undeniably there. They're so used to each other. And the way that he was asking questions was like, you know how comforting it is? Mostly when people, I feel like when I want to speak to someone, me personally, it's nice to talk to someone who already knows, where I don't have to explain a backstory, or where I can just get into it and they already know what's going on. So I think that's nice that he was just able to be like, Stephanie, was it terrible? Was it tragic? He knows how her brain works.
Yeah.
So it was so easy for her to talk, to the point where she's like, you know what? It's too long to text. And then what do we see? A phone call.
Phone call.
And then they start talking to each other, and then they're
laying. It starts with a phone call.
It starts with a phone call.
Things can change in just a moment.
Ooh, yeah, Luisa says that. Thanks. That's the part that I heard. And it's true because it happened on both parts. Now, so we see all that. And I'm going to move forward and just say that that's when
there wasn't a lot happening in this episode.
There wasn't, but we just see.
It was very distinct and clear. I feel like there have been episodes where we have, like, pages and pages of notes, and this happened and this happened. This one was very distinct of
the relationships.
And the relationships that were going on. Mm-hmm. There wasn't a lot of action.
Well, that's what I'm saying. I almost want to just go through the show just so that we can talk about exes and relationships.
Yeah.
The theme of the show, the episode.
Go deeper.
Excuse me. Yes, exactly. No, but we see Petra and Raf speaking, and she gets. Yeah, exactly.
That happened.
If you're listening to the podcast, thank you.
I just put my hand out and let Steffi G grab it.
And we both looked away
because it was too much. We couldn't handle it.
We couldn't handle it. And so that's what we see in the episode. And God, it's so, okay, this is what I love about Petra's character, is how mad she makes me. Like, what a good actress.
To the point to where I walked into the studio today, and Steffi G got, like, very visibly flustered because she said that my outfit looks like something that Petra would wear.
Yeah, and I was like, girl, get out of here right now with that outfit. Because it's just so funny. Like, Petra, what a mischievous little brat whom she's so good at it. And then I get frustrated because I guess she is in love with Petra.
Why do I like her?
Because what
is it about her that we, like, sympathize with? Because she doesn't have a heart.
Well, that's my point.
We've never seen her have a heart.
When she was talking with Jane to convince Jane to not take full custody with Raf, she was saying that, you know, he's miserable. And she's saying, she's like, you know, but I had to deal. You have to understand that I was ready. I was in love and ready to have a baby with him. And then all of a sudden that was happening. But with you. And I was like, oh, you're right. That's true. And then I'm thinking, wait, no, sweetheart. But you were effing Roman.
Yeah.
You know? So really, were you in love with him? No, she's just a hot mess right now.
What does she want?
It's the vulnerability. It's being lonely. It's just wanting something. Attention.
Familiarity.
Money. Familiarity. Exactly.
We saw that too.
And so that part pisses me off because then we see her try to swoop in. And thank goodness, Jane gets this good advice. And I was upset because Raf, I was like, this mother effer. I thought he was being sweet on her. And I thought he was feeling those things. And then we find out because it cuts to Jane and Jane's like, yes, it worked. Because what happens? Petra goes to her mother. And I love that I didn't see any of this happening.
Yeah.
Petra goes to her mother.
Well, first, Raf lied to Petra.
Right.
Saying that Jane wanted full custody.
Exactly. Still. And I don't get it. That's why I got upset, because I'm like, stop talking bad about Jane to Petra. Yeah. Talk bad about her, but to anyone else.
Yeah. Well, I didn't feel like he was talking bad about her.
No, but
he was
in regards to that,
about her.
He was venting about her, but those things, like,
he was talking about private things.
He's talking about private things, and with specific
confiding
people in my life, if it's something I know that they might want to hear, I'm not going to go and talk to you about it.
Oh, yeah. No,
because
way.
That's how people are. They're like, good, let me.
They,
like,
want to feed off of
they
it.
They want to feed off of it, even though they're trying to be the good friend. It's like, no, because
no,
I know, yeah. Exactly.
Like, oh, you just lost your job? Yes.
Right. You know, and it's just like, no, that's not okay. And so then I got frustrated at that part. But then apparently it's a plan and it works. And I'm so happy that Jane's like, I think that I know. I'm happy that she was comfortable enough to say that to Raf, to even make a plan. And that Raf, which I wish Jane would see, was willing to do it out of love.
But so then we can go one step deeper. Was Jane then using Raph's vulnerability to do what she wanted?
Damn it.
Yes, she was.
This is why I do this after show, because y'all just saw me right now. I'm like, I don't even want to talk anymore. I'm like, crap.
Because now we're getting to this point where we get to the end of the episode, and here is Michael out on the patio with Jane. Here's Raf calling and Siamata pushing send a voicemail. And you're going, wait a minute. If Jane would have even been there to pick up the phone, would she have even said, I love you too? Or I want to be with you too? Or is she over it?
Well, this
does she just know? I mean, but at the same time, you know, we go back though. Does Jane actually know that Raf's vulnerability is more than just the baby, that it's actually his feelings for her?
Okay.
Because at this point, okay, Jane doesn't realize that Raf does want to be back with her.
I think that she, what she says, okay, so when we cut back to the scene where we missed it, when the narrator says, like, this is the part that you didn't see, when she's like, look, I think I was just mad. I think that that was actually true. And so she wanted to compromise with him and not have the baby not in his life because what she went through. And so that's why they thought of that plan. Mm-hmm. Not necessarily the vulnerability, but I think that it didn't help. However, I'm so happy that it helped. I hope that Raf, though, sees how it happened. Like, it was literally like
clockwork.
Unbelievable the way that she just went straight to her mother. And it was like, damn, Jane already has her. Like, not wrapped up in her finger, but she just knows. She knows it like the back of her hand already, which is ridiculous. But that part's frustrating. And then I just get upset when Siamata sends it to voicemail. Because I get, you like, remember from the beginning, I was rooting for Mike. But now I'm only heard about it because then later we see, okay, ready? So, and then the only thing that we're missing is that we see Rogelio afraid of heights and everything else, but that's all right.
It was a filler.
Their friendship is building. Now to what we want to talk about. let's see if they can be friends.
But that actually is another theme, though, too.
It is.
Because we have two, well, three guys who are too stubborn to talk about their feelings and their vulnerabilities.
Mm-hmm.
Rahelia doesn't want to talk about his fear of heights.
Right.
Raphael doesn't want to put anything in front of his career and let Jane know that he actually wants to be with her. He wants to instead prove that he's putting the baby first and, you know, that he has it all together, which he doesn't. And then Michael
isn't using Nadine, even though Nadine would be perfect to get even closer to seeing Rostro.
Yeah.
That just popped in my head. That's the reason why that it sucks, because it's frustrating because they could get further into the case, but she's not willing to because of her family.
Oh.
She knows a lot about Sino. She knows more than what they were even able to discuss when he found out.
It's just got real.
Yeah.
But one more episode to go, though.
One more episode
to go. So whatever's going
to
happen.
See, but then this to me falls
back. We need
to be
able to wrap it up in an hour, because otherwise we're going to have to wait until the fall to figure out all that other stuff.
No,
I'm sure everything's going to go deeper, of course.
No, no, it's going to be a cliffhanger, but it's almost going to the... Remember in the beginning when everyone was saying, no, Michael's been lying from the beginning? I think he means well, but Raph at this point is the only one that's truly being... I mean,
he's being honest.
He's being honest, and he's doing something to protect her. And that's it. He's not lying anything deeper. It's just not telling her that part.
What do you think we don't know about Michael?
Well, that part just popped in my head. He should...
Does
they
he
need
know
Nadine.
More about Sean Rostro?
No,
is
but...
Is his name on the list?
No, but Nadine does.
But... Do we know that for sure?
That's true. We didn't see the list. I don't know. We'll see. But that's... You see, this just gets frustrating. Then we see Michael... be wonderful with Jane.
Mm-hmm.
And he says, look, in a perfect world, yes, I'd want to be with you, but you said friends, and I'm fine with friends. And I get butthurt because the narrator says, Jane's thinking that. She says yes over and over and over again, meaning her feelings have already shifted a little bit.
Yeah.
But it's unfortunate just because she's in a vulnerable state herself.
Completely.
She's looking for comfort.
Well, and also, we're seeing all the things that she loves about Michael.
Yeah.
You know, she loved the fact that they were friends. She loved the fact that he knows her, and he knows her schedule, and he knows just the way that her mind works and all that stuff. That's not the stuff that made the relationship fall apart.
Right.
What made the relationship fall apart is the fact that he gets very jealous. He can be insecure. He's been dishonest with her about his past and about work. He's going to be a police officer forever, and he can't keep those things away from her. Granted, right now, the case that he's working on is at the hotel, which raises a conflict of interest because that's where her baby daddy owns, mm-hmm. and that's where she was working up until recently. So they were, you know, constantly going in the same place, and he couldn't tell her what was going on. But
And above all, love. In fact, a movie just popped in my head. It's like a random movie that was, I think it was like an independent film that I saw on Netflix, and it has to do with this guy who looks out for this girl, and he at the end everyone thinks that she's dumb, but she's not. It's just because she was housed her whole life, and so she just didn't have actual education. And he finds out that she's normal because he goes, what do you think love is? And she says, love is when it's nothing else. So that's what I get from Jane and Raph, regardless of that friendship and everything else that's gone. It's just nothing
there.
Else. It's just there. It's nothing else about that between them. It's just, that's why after 2 years, after having an incredible relationship with Michael, she was put in the position to just leave because she was falling in love with Raph.
Mm-hmm.
And that's something that she's not going to be, even though that comfort is stronger than love. So too often comfort is stronger than love. But this part's just, it's just frustrating because on top of her actually being in love with this man, now it's the father of her baby.
Yeah. But there's more than just that feeling love, because I feel like there are a lot of people, girls and guys, who they go towards that feeling of love,
mm-hmm.
but it's not really love. It is, like you said,
comfort,
familiarity, lust, and they don't have all the other variables that go along with it. Yes, Raph and Jane are kind of in two different places, but they have everything that they need. They mm-hmm. respect each other first and foremost. He has the financial backing. She has
the morals,
the families,
the wisdom,
and
the
morals
knowledge,
and
the
wisdom.
Faith.
Whereas a lot of times, love is all you have.
Mm-hmm.
And you can't, you know, move mountains, and you can't, like, put all those different puzzle pieces together, and it just does not work.
Right.
So they have those things going for them where it could potentially work. Timing just has to...
Right. You see, and I've always thought, like, do people, I feel like some people get put in a situation where they're like, who do they kind of respect more? But then you have to think about in the long run, which I'm sure she's thinking the opposite, but in the long run, who are you willing more to fight for? Probably the person that you love. Where with Michael, because he's such a good friend, you could leave a friend because the friend's always going to be there.
Oh.
You can trust the fact that if something were to not work out, then a divorce is allowed. When I know Jane is not the type of person that's ever going to get married and ever accept a divorce. But I could, in that relationship, I do see potential loneliness, and I do see potential just growing up to be just friends.
Hmm.
And especially because they haven't had sex yet. And I know that sometimes it's just lust, but that's why you can't even use that against Raph and Jane's relationship, because they haven't had sex yet.
Yeah.
So it's not necessarily lust. It's the sexual tension, but that's it.
At this point, they have, I feel like, gone through enough ups and downs and conflict and fights.
To have learned each other.
It's just a matter of if they're going to be able to get through this bump in the road. Because mm-hmm. I do feel like sometimes with couples, you get into a really big fight and all of a sudden you can't see each other the same way anymore.
Right.
If not, it takes a really long time. And that's how it was even with Jane and Michael when they first got in a fight and when they first broke up, is she couldn't mm-hmm. look at him the same way. But now maybe she can.
Oh my God, this is ridiculous.
And also Xiomara, I mean, she's biased. She's picking a side here.
Which is so sad because you know that they're doing it in what they think is in the best interest of Jane. And because she knows Michael. And because Michael helped Alba. And because Michael's Michael. And that's just not fair. And everyone knows that when it's love, it's not easy.
But at this point, I feel like Raph's shown that he's there. You know, the graduation.
I think so too. With everything.
Letting Xiomara sing in the hotel.
Every doctor's appointment.
You know, trying to learn about the family and being at everything that he possibly can, with the exception of most recently with having to put work first. But we even seen this episode, he cancels a trip to Spain.
Exactly.
Just in that 5% chance that it could happen, which turns out does happen.
Right. Which is good.
Spoiler alert.
Yeah. No, but you see, but I'm hoping that now I'm thinking, what's going to happen? Is there going to be a situation where she's going to be like, yes, Raph is there? Or is she going to be in a situation where she's like, oh my God, why do I feel like I want Michael to be here? You know, because it's that comfort thing that's happening again. And then she got hurt bad by Raph. That's the only problem that Raph did, is that he hurt her. Where, you know, it's, we already saw that, Jane, like once she loses her trust in someone, how do you gain it back?
Do we think that Raph will be in the delivery room?
No, he was. Well, so we saw, unless that was like a dream or something.
It could have been a dream.
Right. But that's what I'm saying. I hope that she doesn't all of a sudden, like her heart fills, the void is beginning to be filled by someone else.
Well, if anything, I feel like what I would also picture is, what if it's Xiomara and Alba in right. the room and no boy?
Well, we see Alba, Xiomara, I think Lena and Raph. I'm just saying, the way we know that Jane's constantly thinking.
Always.
So what matters is what's in her heart and what's in her head. Oh my goodness.
What do you guys think?
What do you guys think? Let us know. Tweet us.
Let's see if YouTube. We think actually, yeah, we'll let can we'll be give, friends.
We'll give Giselle a moment to look.
One nun says they can't because it's a passive restarting that flame again.
Mm-hmm.
Maria Carmina says no. Let's see. Oh, that was just in my home screen. I have to actually unlock it now to see the other responses. Let's see. What else? Gary177 says, be nice if you can, but I'm afraid that cannot happen. Daquan Jenkins says, well, there's Jane and Michael. Hopefully they'll be back together. So he's Team Michael. And Jane and Raph are heading toward that direction. I'm not quite sure if that answered the question or not.
Well, heading towards that direction because he's willing to say he's accepted that I cannot be without her.
Okay, gotcha. Yosoy L. Kennedy says it's impossible to be friends with exes, not a chance. Aunt Lopez says, hell no.
Really? Okay, now this is going to be really weird. I hate to put my own life in it, but
get personal.
I was in a. Well, it's actually probably the only relationship I ever refer to when I'm talking on the show. And that was a very serious, dramatic ending and everything of like,
how
after
long ago?
We're going on 3 years ago now.
Okay.
But that same person I spoke to over the phone the other day, And this is what I was thinking about when she was talking to Michael and how it was like very comforting. Familiar. It was very familiar. And I was able to say so much and this person was just kind of knowing and like just taking it in. And yes, it goes through your head. Damn, could we? Because I haven't been with anybody since or anything like that. And it was comforting to hear that. It was nice that that person is familiar and was like, wow, good for you. And was able to say congratulations, but with meaning behind it mm-hmm. because he saw me grow. And he saw me change. However, I remember at the end of that relationship also thinking, thank God we're friends. That person genuinely is like a friend to me now. And it's crazy because I didn't think it would be. And our families are friends now after what we had gone through. And I was thinking I probably would be able to introduce him to any future relationships. Maybe not like to be around, but maybe that future relationship would be like, well, our parents are friends now.
Okay.
And not that they see each other all the time, but I'm just saying, like, they vacation together.
That does add, hello.
I know. They vacation together. So they, like, you know, they just the other, like, you know, a couple months ago, my mom was like, oh, let's get into contact.
Would there ever be a chance, do you think, that you guys could get back together?
No, because I think I would say no, because it's one of those things where once it's done for me, at least. And the reason why that happened was because we had lost respect for each other in that aspect. So then, no.
Do you think he would ever want to be back with you?
Possibly.
That's where it gets complicated of can you be friends and can it be completely conscious?
You're right. Unless it's mutual on both parts.
I feel like it's very rare unless you...
It's always one or the other. You're right.
It's always one or the other. And I think the only times I've ever seen it work is if you like share a child together and you're co-parenting.
Okay. Are you friends with any of your exes?
No. None.
Right.
Zero. Like, not friends on Facebook, not friends on Instagram, phone numbers deleted unless my stupid cloud will not let me delete their phone number on my phone, and then they just keep popping back in, and there's, like, the occasional drunk text that will happen sometimes.
From you or from them?
From them!
That's so funny, because they can't get enough of Giselle Ugarte.
Like, and so it's just one of those things. It's just, you just can't. And I think it's also, it's a respect thing for your future.
I think so, too. I agree with that.
For yours and also for your future
relationships. For the person in your life,
of because
course.
I think about it and, you know, I try to think, wait, you're still talking to your ex-girlfriend? Why?
Mm-hmm.
You know, I would understand, okay, you're family, friends, maybe.
But at that, it shouldn't, like, I would agree, it wouldn't be anything more than that.
And you guys would never be in the same room or the same party together unless yes. I'm there, too.
Right.
Like, it just... It needs to be a situation where both of you have very clearly moved on.
Yes.
And there's no unfinished business. And it's not even a friendship level to where you talk to each other on a regular basis.
Right.
It's
that it would just
you can
be
just run into each other and be civil.
Yes, ma'am. Absolutely. Absolutely. And that's the thing for me. It would never be able to be more than that.
Yeah.
With anyone. And even like prior, like, yeah. We see, but that's, yeah. I feel you on that.
And I think, and it has to be... If you're even going to be at that point, even if you're going to be on that friendship level or even the, you know, happen to get on a Facebook Messenger conversation with or phone conversation with, like, it has to be years.
Afterwards. Agreed. Because trust me, and it's funny how it could prolong. I agree.
Like, you need to really have, like, moved on. And I know girls, I'm sure there are guys too, but I've witnessed it more with girls that they... It will have been a year after someone, and they still think that there's a chance, or they still think that you know, maybe.
No, and it's like, stop.
And it's like, girlfriend, come on.
Get to step it. Snap out of it. You turn the switch, sweetheart. Oh, agreed. No, you're right. You're right. Hey, look at Andy.
Yeah.
Perfect example on the show.
Psycho.
Was she, Rachel's so dope.
Oh, she's so funny.
Did I tell you that she is best friends with one of my coworkers?
Really?
Yes. Hilarious.
Let's all go drinking.
Let's go
salsa dancing.
Oops. She didn't mean drinking. She meant salsa dancing.
Okay.
I'm just kidding. Okay, but yes. Anyway, so that was a really great episode. We only have one more show to go. Do you want to do a last minute to see if anyone else tweeted you anything? Nope, we're good to go.
I think we're good.
We're good to go.
We're good to go.
Anyways, why don't we go into predictions?
And now, your AfterBuzz TV predictions.
Okay, well, we can't really do general predictions, so I feel like I have to do short-term what's going to happen in the next episode.
Exactly.
No, as much as I want to be like, eventually
this will
happen.
I only have,
Petra,
I think, short-term.
Petra and Michael will have a longing stare, you know, and all that stuff. I think that Xiomara and Rogelio will get back together in this next episode.
Okay.
I think we might even see a proposal happen on stage. That's my prediction. Let's see. I think, well, obviously Jane's going to have a baby. Here, you chime in here. I need to think of other
stuff. No, that's fine. Okay, so the twist is what I'm worried about.
What's the cliffhanger going to be?
I'm really afraid that Jane's going to want Michael there for whatever reason it is. And or Petra's going to do something bad because that's the thing, though. It's such a shocking twist. What is it that we're not expecting? Or Luisa, or something with Luisa, or maybe even something with Sin Rostro. I mean, who knows? What if Sin Rostro, because she never had a baby, comes back to steal Jane's baby?
What if Sin Rostro kidnaps Michael? I just want, I know that there's going to be a cliffhanger, but I want there to be like a happiness, and I want like Jane and Rogelio and like their happy family to be together. But I also know Jenny Ehrman and how she just like.
I need Jane and Raph to be okay.
Yeah.
I love them.
Wait, no, more than okay.
No, I need them. Yes, I need them. I need Jane to be delivering this baby and for Raph to be like, Jane, I am so sorry. I'm an idiot. I love you with all my heart. My life will not ever be the same without you. And like, I'm not even letting you say no to me. Yes. Yes, please let it happen. Okay, and watch that shocking twist angle happen.
Seriously, let us know what you think is going to happen. We will be here next week. Hopefully Madison will be back. She's not feeling very well.
But otherwise, where can they find you?
Tweet me at Giselle Ugarte, just Ugarte. It's also me on Snapchat and Instagram. My Facebook is Giselle Ugarte Official. So
that's about it.
I know. I had a deep thought for a second where I'm like,
more predictions really in her happening? Head. I know,
like,
exactly.
There's only one episode left.
Right. So next week, join us for chapter 22. You can find me on Twitter at Stephanie Georgie, on Instagram at TheStephanieGeorgie, and on Snapchat at Stephanie Georgie as well. Sorry, I wish I could make mine all the same. I can't. I'm trying. We'll see how that works out. Please continue the discussion with us on YouTube and on Twitter. We love you all so much.
5 stars, thumbs up, share, subscribe, all that good stuff.
And above.
Bye.
Peace.
From executive producers Maria Menounos, Kevin Undergaro, Phil Svitek, and the entire AfterBuzz TV staff, we would like to thank you for listening to the AfterBuzz TV network. To watch or listen to other after shows and post comments or questions, be sure to visit AfterBuzzTV.com. I'm Sir Richard Wentworth, and this has been a presentation of AfterBuzz TV.
Buzz you later.
The views expressed herein are those of the hosts only and do not necessarily reflect the views of AfterBuzz TV or its owners or principals.